Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Last year, we had the excitement here in Kansas City with hosting the draft. It doesn't feel like there's as much buzz like about it being in Detroit. And I get it. We're not in Detroit, but I guess I just feel like I haven't even seen a whole lot of like special events or things that they're planning on. And I'm sure it'll look cool. The setup that they have in Detroit, I just haven't seen much of
either.
It. And I don't know if that's just because last year was an all time high with everything. We lucked out. It was beautiful weather on draft. I mean, that Saturday of the draft was just incredible. And obviously 72. It was so cool on Thursday night. What does a successful draft look like? Because I think everybody has a different feel and view on what that actually is for the Chiefs.
I think based on what they have, and I know at 11, we're going to have a slightly longer conversation about, I don't think you should be ignoring the importance of this upcoming draft, but like a success to me is, because I was thinking about like, they don't have that much draft asset. They don't have as much as you think. They've had more in previous years. So unless they trade down, the number of top 100 picks they have is somewhat limited, and they're telling me that rounds 5 through, everyone is telling you in the league, rounds 5 through 7 doesn't matter. So I'm down to a couple of things. Draft one starter, one guy who plays 50% of the snaps, and get me a depth guy on defense, or, you know, like, I think probably specifically defense, either in the secondary or in the defensive line. And I'll probably call it a successful draft. One full-time starter, a guy who plays more than the guy he's up against, one guy who shares a role on a line or in a defensive backfield or in the receiver unit to the tune of 40 to 50%, and one depth rotational guy who's allowed to be on the field in moments in which they can trust him. Outside of that, I'd probably call that a win for the Chiefs. I really would. Honestly, as we've noticed in previous years, I don't really care which order they came in. If it turns out the starter was in the third round and the depth guy was in the first round, just as long as someone's good, I'll take the chances. Because last year, the first rounder was neither of the three things I just mentioned to you. The starter all the time was Rashee Rice, and then the depth guys like Shamari Connor and others came later in the draft.
And the names don't matter. You know, it's always funny because we do all these mock drafts. We take a look at all of them, and there's the same, I don't know, what, five names usually that kind of keep coming up. And so those are the names that we all,
Mitchell.
Yeah, we all get used to. Yeah, whether it's A.D. Mitchell or anybody
Mataia.
Else. Sure. Yeah. And so then when the team, or any, this applies to any team, but specifically the Chiefs, draft someone that wasn't mentioned a ton, like, oh, who the heck is this guy? It doesn't matter if it's the right pick. That's all that matters. How many guys, when they drafted a couple years ago, did we actually know the name and they turned out to be impactful players? So, and you said, we'll talk more about further in the draft coming up at 11 o'clock. But for me, the success is there's a couple areas where I think you can actually go and get depth. And then there's maybe one or two where you can get starters. So if you told me that you found, you know, like an offensive tackle, to me, you're looking for a starter. At wide receiver,
or competition, competition.
At wide receiver, to me, it's more of a depth thing. I know people want a guy to come in right away, but and eventually, with Hollywood Brown only being on a one-year deal, that's probably the case. But in year one, the guy they draft, whether it's the first or the second round, let's say, at wide receiver, is more of a depth draft pick for year one. And so, to me, that's fine. Like, address the depth there. Corner, if you want to draft a corner third, fourth round, that's a depth type of draft pick, not a guy that I'm expecting to come in and sign. So I'm good with this being more about the depth and even in the future, not necessarily the Felix thing where, okay, he's not playing at all. No, yeah. But when you look
depth
at
for this year's team.
Yeah. And the one spot that I would be thrilled if they said, hey, we're drafting a guy and like, no, he could come in and start right away. And I only think there's one position it can happen. It's tackle. I don't think the wide receiver they draft is starting right away over Hollywood Brown or Rashee Rice. It's just not happening.
And by the way, if they do, great. They're Puka Nacua sure. All of a sudden? Well, then you got the best wide receiver unit in the NFL.
Absolutely. And then, like, you know, if you believe the talk all of a sudden around corner in round one, yeah, if they drafted corner round one, then that guy could be the number two corner right away, I guess. But I think it's depth, and then the one spot where I would look at as a starter would be the tackle at pick 32.
Yeah, I like the more I was thinking about it, it's like I don't need starters at every position by any means. But I desperately like I'll tell you this, like if the opposite conversation is what does a failure look like? It's that you do a bunch of projects again. I'm not doing that 2 years in a row. You spent two premium of a pick. So last year in your first three picks, Shamari Connor really didn't play for you much, eventually became a good role player for this team down the road. Rashee Rice played a little bit early and then eventually became the full-time starter down the road. And Felix Anudike-Uzomah didn't play. I'm not looking for that level of production. I'm looking for players that help you more now, even if like the total snaps aren't way more, but they are on the field and contributors immediately. I go back to the same thing we said last year, and I don't think you have to be desperate with it because of the number of Super Bowls you have, but you should absolutely do anything you can in order to try to do something nobody in NFL history has done, which is win three straight Super Bowls. None of those teams, and I think we've talked about this, none of them have even made it back to the Super Bowl. No one have even just gotten to the damn game. The other teams have fallen short in either the AFC. More teams have missed the playoffs than made the conference championship game in the three-peat attempted year. So you got to find a way to just not have the wheels come off this year, which seems pretty unlikely, I'm going to be honest, with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and all of those things. But like in a way, it's like I want them to find the depth in the draft that prevents them from going through the, hey, is this all going to come together part of the conversation? And instead, even if you lose games early, that you're just kind of a steady force. There were times last year where you're like, I'm not so sure this wide receiver unit is actually good enough to win a Super Bowl. And because what you said, the depth availability in the draft, you should be able to prevent yourself from those types of conversations.
Yeah, set up the group at, you know, you bring someone along. I'm specifically talking about the wide receiver, whether it's first, second round, you actually draft one. If that guy comes in and knowing about your situation at wide receiver where you have Rice and Brown, and I know we at some point Rice is going to get suspended. It's just there's a chance that he plays week one and is not suspended by then. So
yeah, it just depends on how the legal process plays
out. Whoever you draft, can that guy be for enough along? So let's say it's mid-October or November. If a suspension even happens next year, it could be the following year. Do you have that guy you drafted with one of your top two picks that at that point is able to ease in and contribute a little more for a 4 week stretch? Let's say if Rice gets a month long suspension, that to me is important. But I think you're still looking at only one position you can draft in round one that I actually think you're coming in and starting right away. And that's tackle.
Yeah. I mean, probably again, unless they're just instant star, like obviously there's some positions just can't happen. They could take 1,000 quarterbacks. Right. That's never going to happen. But I also don't think
they took a corner. Let's say they took a corner.
He could start.
Yeah.
A corner could start. Why not? I mean, it's not out of the question. McDuffie is one side solid starter, no question. But of any of the positions they're willing to put players on the field early, it's definitely corner. They put Watson on the field a bunch early.
They had to.
McDuffie, I know, but like.
If you take him in the first round.
They had to put Watson there because he got hurt.
Yeah. If you take him in the first round, you should be assuming he's opposite of, or you know how it works with corners anymore. They don't just play straight opposites, but. He should be on the field a lot.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. If you're going to take a corner in round one, then I think it's.
I agree. I would rather tackle them. I would just rather them build depth. I mean, it's the same reason why we mentioned. I mean, Watson and Williams have already played key snaps for this franchise since being drafted, but they were guys that were brought in behind a few others, and now maybe it's Jalen Watson's opportunity to be the number two. I'd rather them draft a guy second, third, fourth round, and just like basically backfill it again. All of a sudden, that guy is the next Jalen Watson, and you work him in, and so that way, in a year or two, that you feel confident that guy can come into play and just keep backbuilding this thing a little bit.
The one thing about left tackle that is interesting is the way Brett Veach, if you believe the way he talked, was that last Friday? Yeah. Last Friday, the way he talked about Wanye Morris. Like, you can take it from the pros and cons. You can take it from the side and be like, he's just not giving him the job, which is definitely true based on the way he talked about it. But he also made it sound like he's going to give him an honest-to-God shot at the job, which he did not have last year. Like, Wanya Morris never had a shot at the job. They gave Juwan Taylor the right tackle job. The second they signed Donovan Smith, Wanya was put on the sorry rook back burner, learn the ropes trick. The way Brett Veach was talking last week, he wasn't sounding like he was looking to take a first-round guy who was just going to take the job from Wanya. Now, he could be lying.
I don't know, man.
I thought it made it sound like he wanted to give him an honest-to-God shot at the job.
I took it as they didn't see enough to where it's his job. And that, to me, is pretty telling. And you leave the door open to where, like, well, of course, there's no way Brett Veach would have any incentive to come out and be like, you know what? You know, the guy we drafted last year, we already think he can't ever be a left tackle for us. You know, there's no way publicly that was ever going to be said. I'm with you that I think the competition aspect is there, especially if they don't draft somebody high, and then you are really talking. But I wonder a little bit if that was, to me, pretty telling that right away he played four games and you clearly didn't see enough that you're like, oh, no, we feel really good about this particular, you know, position. And I was trying to find the exact cut in I guess I can't find it in front of me right this second, but I thought we had a cut on the particular tackle situation. But yeah, I'm with you to a certain extent. I just don't know if is that a good thing. If you're Wanya Morris and you hear the general manager say, you know, there's some things we liked, some things we didn't like, which, by the way, probably very true, but that doesn't give me confidence that they're not drafting one. I think Drew's got the cut.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think we were really happy with Wanya's development last year, and I think he showed some signs early on in the OTAs that we were really excited about. Continue that growth and maturation process during the training camp. And then middle of the season there, he got an opportunity, some good, some bad. I think Wanya would tell you this. I think if you look at his body of work last year, I think on one end, you're happy that he was able to come in at the pro level and be competitive. It wasn't perfect. But it also was solid play that I think is a good foundation to build and grow on. But he has to come in here with the mindset that, you know, we're going to look to bring in competition. And, you know, he's got to come in here and win that position. And I think it's his job to come in and be prepared to win that position. And I think it's our job to go out there and find competition, you know, for that left tackle spot. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of promise in there and there's a lot of ability. But certainly I think, you know, it's our job to bring in some competition there and make him earn that and work for that.
I mean, that makes it sound like they're going to let him compete, but I get what you could hear both ways. I'm not saying
I mean, we're all trying to dissect the wording and things like that. It sets him up for options. Like, it sets him up where if there's a tackle at 32 or 25, they can
bring in competition for him.
And they love that guy, then they draft him. That's good. And they're willing to take a tackle. I think they truly are willing and maybe want to take a tackle there, but that guy may not exist by the time they pick. Mm-hmm. So then suddenly after the draft, they can say, oh yeah, we told you we want to bring some competition. They just bring another veteran and then there's a real competition. It just leaves their options open. That wasn't a, oh no, we feel great about what we saw there.
No, but it also didn't rule out the possibility of letting him actually compete for it. So like, but I definitely know how you could hear that and be like, oh, I don't like Wanya at all. I tend to think that it's more in the middle than that, but yeah, it's definitely tough. Meanwhile, the Royals over the weekend, we know that they lost 2-3 against Baltimore.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.